Winnie the Pooh. Tubby little cubby all stuffed with fluff. He's Winnie the Pooh, Winnie the Pooh. Willy-nilly silly old bear.
This is the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. Many of us grew up with stories of Winnie the Pooh, as did our parents, and maybe even as did our grandparents, too. That's because Winnie the Pooh is closing in on 100 years old. And there's a scholar of all things Pooh Bear right here in Illinois. Neil Nance Carroll is an English instructor at Eastern Illinois University. He earned his PhD in English from Illinois State University, and on Monday night, he'll be giving ISU's annual Lois Lenski Children's Literature Lecture, titled The First 100 Years of Winnie the Pooh. Nance Carroll has published extensively on the stories of this stuffed bear. He was awarded the Judith Plotz Emerging Scholar Award by the Children's Literature Association in 2016 and the Children's Literature and Education Emerging Scholar Award in 2013. Neil Nance Carroll, welcome to the 21st Show. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks for inviting me.
Listeners, we want to know, did you grow up with Winnie the Pooh stories? Or maybe you have a question for our guest? You can join our conversation by giving us a call at 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. Or you can tweet us at 21st Show, at 21ST Show. So let's start by talking about Winnie the Pooh in its original form, before the stories became Disney films. Who was A.A. Milne?
A.A. Milne was a significant author before he became a children's author. He primarily wrote poetry and plays. He also wrote a detective novel. But the plays were really his big thing before that, and writing for Punch, which is one of the most significant humor magazines of the time, and that also brought in E.H. Shepherd, who would eventually illustrate the Winnie the Pooh books. So he was a man who loved leisure. He liked sports, especially golf and cricket. He was well known for being sort of a happy person. But he was also someone who cared deeply about politics. And this is one of the things that I found really interesting about him. For someone whose reputation is about such light things, he fought in the First World War. He was a signal officer, served at the front for that. Before the war, he'd actually been involved in politics. He was canvassing for the Liberal Party, at that point led by David Lloyd George, looking to make society more fair, looking to raise taxes on the wealthy in order to support poor people, widows, and orphans. And he canvassed street by street. He was a significant worker on this, not just somebody who kind of stood on the sidelines.
Interesting. And I want to come back to some of that advocacy and how that might play up or come out in the stories. But let's talk about your lecture. It's called The First 100 Years of Winnie the Pooh. The first books were published almost 100 years ago. What were those first works like for those of us who might have grown up with a more Disneyfied version of the character?
So the first book about Winnie the Pooh, titled Winnie the Pooh, is 1926. And many parts of Winnie the Pooh and the House of Pooh Corner, which was the sequel to it, are in the first set of Disney movies. There's a lot of similarities there. This isn't one where we see a huge jump between, we had a very classic character that was changed radically. So Winnie the Pooh in both versions is basically the same bear. He is a bear of very little brain, as it is, he is often said to be. He loved honey, very friendly. He was accompanied by Piglet and Eeyore. And in the second book, by Tigger. In the first book, Kanga and Roo are the new characters introduced, and he's alongside Christopher Robin. The events of the stories are all quite gentle. These aren't stories that have a lot of scary or dangerous elements to them. It's a very kind of pleasant world in which the problems that they have to solve are minor misunderstandings, or in the larger problems, a small flood, and Winnie the Pooh being stuck inside the doorway after having eaten so much honey. So it is still that kind of gentle domestic fantasy that many people come to love in the Disney version.
Right, right. Very gentle domestic life. What first got you interested in studying Winnie the Pooh stories? Are these stories that you grew up with as a listener or reader in early life?
I did grow up with them. It was one of my favorite books as a child, but I had a lot of favorite books as a child that I didn't end up studying professionally. What really drew me to them is this very strange set of framing practices in the first chapter of the first Winnie the Pooh book, because it uses second person narration for that first story in there. It's addressed to you directly. It says, you did this with Winnie the Pooh, which is very strange. And the you in there is clearly specifically Christopher Robin. But there's also this odd thing that Christopher Robin is positioned inside of the story as a character, but also slightly outside of the story, where he can ask questions directly to the narrator and respond. And so I thought that was very strange. That's not something that I saw in a lot of children's literature. And so I got interested in figuring out, why does it work that way, and what effect does that have on readers?
Well, why does it work that way? What effect does it have on readers? I guess those are the natural, obvious next questions, right? I mean, is this like a choose-your-own-adventure before those? I mean, not quite, but, you know, you're in the story, right? Those things we grew up with.
I mean, I think there is some of that attraction to it. It draws you right into the story. It reminds you that you are supposed to experience this right alongside the characters. And I'm sure for the original Christopher Robin, who was actually A.A. Milne's son, there was a certain choose your own adventure element to that. He really could influence this. And that's preserved in some of the little commentary on that. I think in terms of what it does for the reader, this has been one of the things that within criticism of Winnie the Pooh has been pretty controversial about it. Several of the major children's literature critics that have looked at this really found that to be a problem. They looked at the way in which the child reader was positioned both inside and outside of the story, and they thought that that really added a level of complexity that made this more suited to adults, that this was almost a modernist technique, would take the reader out of what was otherwise a simple and peaceful story. And that really gives us an adult reading of it versus a child reading of it. And those two different readings are seen as intention by some critics. So, for example, Roger Sale sees this as sort of sneering at the lesser creatures there, adding a clear hierarchy of who's better and who's worse. And even critics that generally seem to like it have said this is a weird choice and one that they don't always approve of. Personally, I've found it a fascinating choice, and I think it allows more ways into the story rather than a danger of not getting into the story.
And I mean, you definitely think it was intentional. I mean, he structured it this way intentionally, and it wasn't, you know, simply an oversight or something like that.
I do think it was intentional, given that Milne at this point was not only a experienced author, but quite a successful and famous one, and working with an editor on this, it would be unreasonable for it to be purely accident, for this to be a first draft that slipped through. And especially as it was published many times since then, if this was an oversight, I think they would have changed it.
Yeah. All right, let me take a moment to remind listeners, if you're just joining us, we're speaking with Neil Nance Carroll, who's an instructor in English at Eastern Illinois University. He has a PhD in English from Illinois State University, and on Monday night, he'll be giving Illinois State's annual Lois Lenski Children's Literature Lecture titled The First 100 Years of Winnie the Pooh. We'll have details on that on our website, 21stshow.org, if you want to learn more about it. If you want to join our conversation now, the number to call is 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. Or you can tweet us at 21st Show, at 21st Show. Especially if you grew up with these books, if they were meaningful to you, we'd love to hear about it. Briefly in the time we have remaining. So let's talk more about the message of Winnie the Pooh. You talked about these as simple stories, pleasant stories, but you also talked about Milne's activism. Did that activism come out in these stories? What are the lessons of the Winnie the Pooh books and stories?
Oh, excellent. I think it definitely comes out. And I think the simple and pleasant part of it isn't to say that there is not a significant moral education that is occurring within this. What these stories are about is a love of peace and of gentleness and of acceptance of difference. So Milne was a pacifist after the First World War. He eventually rejected that at the necessity of the Second. But this peace is a large part of this. We have plenty of children's literature from that era that has much more violence and conflict, and this text really doesn't. There is one gun in this text. It's clearly a pop gun. It's used to puncture a balloon. This is not a text of danger. And he believed that gentleness was important. He believed in peace as a positive value. He wrote positively for pacifism in his 1934 book, Peace with Honor. He argued in print with T.S. Eliot about the value of pacifism. And in these texts, that gentleness in terms of resolving conflict comes across, and not in terms of resolving warlike conflict, but in everyday sorts of conflicts. And in terms of how this works within the text, an example would be when Kanga and Roo first arrive to the forest, or when Tigger first arrives to the forest, the other creatures find them scary and disruptive. In particular, Rabbit is presented as uncomfortable with newcomers. And in each of these cases, they plot a way to defeat and perhaps repel these newcomers. In the first book, all of the animals together, get together to kidnap Roo and replace Roo with Piglet in order to convince Kanga and Roo to leave, which is a horrifying thought. They're going to kidnap a child in order to force the mother to leave. But within the context of this text, because all of the animals trust that Christopher Robin, who within the stories seems sort of all-powerful, he's the adult figure, these childlike toys, as long as he's not worried, they're not worried. So what might otherwise be a quite worrying plot about the kidnapping of a child is instead presented as more a domestic mix-up in which Kanga can kind of make fun of Piglet for pretending to be Roo, and it can be resolved with the other animals realizing that Kanga and Roo really belong here, that they can be part of the forest alongside them. This tolerance and acceptance of people that are different than one is core to what Milne believed was important. The gentleness that also comes from his own childhood, while corporal punishment or hitting children was common during that time, he had been raised in a very progressive home. His father was a schoolmaster at Henley House, and they didn't cane the children there. And that was noted as particularly unusual, including by H.G. Wells, who taught there.
He was quoted as, goodness.
Yeah, and was one of A.A. Milne's teachers. We had for this that it really, he never used the cane. It still hung in the schoolroom as it did for many places, but as far as H.G. Wells knew, it hadn't been used for years before he taught there.
Wow. We have a call on the line. Jeff is on from Springfield. Jeff, thanks for calling in really quickly. We're running out of time, but go ahead with your question.
Yes, I grew up with Winnie the Pooh and as a little kid. But as an adult, there were a couple books that were made known to me. One was called The Tao of Pooh, and the follow-up was The Tay of Piglet, where they tried to connect Taoism with Winnie the Pooh. And I was wanting to know, it was kind of an interesting approach, and I was wanting to know if you were familiar with those two books. The author was Benjamin Hoff, I believe.
Sure.
And didn't know if you were familiar with them, if you had any comments on them.
All right, thank you for that, Jeff. And we should say Elizabeth and Decatur also asked about the Tao of Pooh. Apparently this is a common thing. Unfortunately, just about a minute left, Neil. So if you want to quickly respond to that, or if that's something you're familiar with.
Sure, I'd be happy to respond to that. I am familiar with those books, actually. I have copies of them. And I think this was part of a spate of books in which Winnie the Pooh was being used to explain other concepts. Winnie the Pooh being a very familiar and approachable character. And so for a Western audience unfamiliar with Taoism, this was a good way of explaining some principles. There were also Winnie the Pooh books on business management that were published during the middle of the 20th century. And I think all of this is about taking something that's otherwise intimidating or unfamiliar and using Winnie the Pooh as a vehicle to explain this, a way to make it approachable, familiar, and comfortable.
Teaching children, teaching adults, Winnie the Pooh. Neil Nance Carroll is an instructor in English at Eastern Illinois University. Again, the lecture, it's the Lois Lenski Children's Literature Lecture. It's called The First 100 Years of Winnie the Pooh at ISU. This coming Monday, we'll have more information on that on our website. Neil Nance Carroll, thank you so much for being with us and sharing your work with us today on the 21st Show.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
Willy-nilly, silly old bear, Winnie the Pooh, Winnie the Pooh, tubby little puppy on snow.
And that's all the time we have for our show today. The 21st is produced by Anna Casey, Aiden Choate, and Erica Scalise, who's also our engagement producer. Our interns are Owen Henderson, Zainab Qureshi, and Briel Skullark. Technical direction and engineering comes from Jason Croft and Steve Mork. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. The 21st is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. Thanks for listening. We'll talk with you again on Monday.